And welcome to the first episode of the Huntington Wiffle League podcast. My name is Josh Smith. With me is my co-host,
Greg Sauer. And our special guest,
Jeremy Litton.
Jeremy Litton is, of course, the team captain of the Welfare Warriors, the 2-22 bottom feeder team from our league this summer. They are currently in the Dangerfield tournament for the mock wiffle ball tournament on the National Wiffle Ball League Association rankings website.
For the record, I hope we are the worst ones on that one.
I think you will be. Should be an interesting podcast.
Stay tuned. First things first, we'll talk about the playoffs and the championship, and then the regular season as a whole. So, Greg, who was in the championship?
Maroon Squad and Holy Balls.
Okay, how'd it go?
Maroon Squad won.
It's 4-2.
Dramatically, home run in the bottom of the fifth.
Yep, 4-2. Josh Hager actually didn't strike out. Yeah, he there's two showing ups for Josh Hager. There's being there in general, which is, as a team captain, you should be there every week, which he was not. And then there was actually performing well, which he did. He didn't even attempt to pitch, was a smart move. He, I think, had beginner's luck during the season when we first started this year, and then he got progressively worse throughout the season. So it was a smart move to put Clagg on the mound from the get-go, but he actually hit that two-run home run, dramatic shot in the fifth inning, at the bottom of the fifth when the game was still tied 2-2, and won season MVP. I think he made that call before we even had a chance to discuss it. You just gave him the trophy as soon as he crossed the plate. But that is what happened during the championship. So let's reflect a little bit on our own personal experiences in the playoffs. I think since neither one of our teams made it into the championship, I'd say there's a little bit of disappointment, if I had to guess.
I had to wait on people to show up from the other teams. We do have a 15-minute rule policy that wasn't kept to. They could have played. They had two players. They could have started the game without him, and we could have moved on from there and seen how it went, but we had to wait. We had already played a game, waiting in the heat for another guy to show up from doing a number two. Mm-hmm. We had to wait from the first game because their team captain wanted to wait his full 15 minutes on a player that never showed up. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of standing around for my team that I didn't like.
Let's break it down a little more in depth. What happened in our game? In the first round, my team, the Terrahawks, was playing your team, the Beaver Fever.
You got beat 13-3, I believe.
Yes, but we were building momentum. I was 2-for-2 at the time. I had two solo shots off of you, I believe. Andrew Hankins did not show up, regrettably. He called me later with a legitimate reason with why he didn't show up, but I can't remember it right now.
He was sick. I talked to him the next week. He was sick that day.
Yeah, he was sick, which basically it was left for me to do all the heavy lifting for offense, although I do think Julie also hit a home run in that game.
Yes, she did.
You intentionally walked me.
I did intentionally walk you, which...
It's a legit strategy.
I believe it killed your momentum. It pissed you off. You did a little bit worse at the plate for the remainder of the game.
You visibly rattled me, I think, by intentionally walking me. I cannot believe that I've known you since, the sixth grade? We were 12 years old when we met. We're 26 now. I've known you for 14 years, and you pull a stunt like that.
It is a part of baseball. If you watch any major league game, there is almost definitely at least one intentional walk per game.
You could have went out with my mother, I would have been less offended by being intentionally
walked. If you call Barry Bonds and ask him about intentional walks, he probably has the same argument you do, but he took it more like a man.
Yeah. Well, that's something we'll definitely have to look into during winter meeting when we revise the rule book.
I don't believe there's any way to call an intentional walk.
I think if it doesn't reach the 20-foot arc part of the circle, it was probably intentional. Unless there's bowling pins resting behind me underneath the strike zone, then it should at the very least make it within the 20-foot arc.
All of mine made it that far. I did not throw any of them into the ground.
Yeah. There's one that only went like maybe 5 feet.
I think we should move on before we publicly end our friendship over that small matter on the podcast. So we'll move on. The game between, Jeremy, you played the Maroon Squad. You got the toughest draw because of the seeding.
No, they played Pink Penguins.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, you did play the Pink Penguins. How did that game go?
Not too good. Mm. Well, we thought we did good at first, actually.
And who all showed up for your team?
Dylan Evans, the latecomer, who is actually pretty darn good.
Yep.
And Michael Sumner and then myself. We sort of had a little bit of drama on the team. Mm-hmm. You know,
We'll talk about that later. That's later. Dylan Evans, I think, is a hippie. I friended him on Facebook recently, and all he does is talk about Bonnaroo.
He's
an anti-establishment, Bonnaroo attending hippie.
But he's fun to be with.
And I've never seen him wear a stitch of hemp. It just blows my mind. It's a very interesting team, your team. But we'll talk about that more later. Probably the closest and best game that I watched, it wasn't even the championship, it was the semifinal game between the Pink Penguins and the Maroon Squad. The two top pitchers to watch the whole season squared off against each other, Maroon Squad's James Clagg and Pink Penguins' Thelmer Dameron, who would end up winning Cy Wiffle this year. Don't even remember his facial hairstyling for that week, but it wasn't enough to edge out the Maroon Squad, which I thought they would, since they were the first team to take him down. Do you have any thoughts on that, Greg?
Maroon Squad showed up to play that game. They hung around long enough to win the whole thing. I think they won, and they scored their winning runs in the fourth inning, and then the Pink Penguins just didn't have enough to come back.
Yeah, what else can you say? It all comes down to offense, I think. Offensively, the Holy Balls were really the only other team that could really compete with the Maroon Squad, but then they had trouble hitting off of James Clagg because he's a wild card. He's still learning how to throw the wiffle ball, but he's got a lot of brute force and speed on his side that I think really comes to his aid a lot. So that it's a numbers game. Thelmer just did not have the offense to back up his good pitching.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
It was a very low-scoring game. I mean,
he's a victim of circumstance, I think.
A couple extra hits, and maybe we're talking about the Pink Penguins winning a championship against Holy Balls. Or maybe we're talking about Holy Balls winning a championship against Pink Penguins.
I think that could have been a totally valid thing that it could have happened. Moving on to our next order of business, we do have a special guest with us. His name is Jeremy Litton. He's a good friend of mine, and he is the captain of the Welfare Warriors, who no longer exist. And he did do a good job of getting a franchise through the whole year and play and participate in the playoffs without the team completely collapsing. So,
Neither one of us thought he would actually do.
Yes, he's a former
team, the end of the year.
Former teammate of mine. He loves waffles almost as much as I do. He's good people. So,
a future teammate down here in Charleston.
Yeah, he's going to be playing on my team in the Charleston Wiffle League. We'll talk more about that later. So please give your attention to Mr. Litton.
That's what the kids call me.
Yeah, that's what the kids call him, yeah. So you have the floor. Whatever you want to talk about with the Welfare Warriors, you can say no judgments here.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Josh, for inviting me today, and Greg. I guess you're awesome, too. We'll just say
very awesome. Very I have a shirt that says so.
Yeah. Ask his wife.
Sort of angry at Greg right now at the current moment. But anyway, talking about the Welfare Warriors. We are a team of very diverse people. Sort of. We're all white. I'm going to have to.
We're leaving that in. He's a very diverse group of white men. Very diverse,
very close to the same age.
Yeah, we're totally leaving that in.
Are we?
Oh, yeah.
Damn. All right, Welfare Warriors, sort of a hodgepodge of a merry crew that got together because, well, we wanted to be active, play sports, something other than play video games at home in our mom's basements.
Okay, so it was more of a group of misfits trying to get into trouble and hijinks. And okay, all right, I feel you.
Because you got myself, I work on computers all the time, teacher, so I don't get out very much. Troy, he lives in his brother's basement, and we don't know what he does. Something have to do with trolls on World of Warcraft.
I think we all know what Troy does in his personal time.
Yeah.
As he's probably doing it right now.
Well,
we won't talk about that.
Yeah, I know. I think it involves other trolls under the bridge.
Next teammate.
Yeah. Yeah, that next teammate.
Let's see. We got Michael Sumner. He's always working manager at one of the local fine fast food establishments. And he works night shift. So getting him on the field, but he pitches very well.
I'd say he's arguably your team's best player, to be quite honest.
Well, he doesn't bitch about it. I mean, complain. Excuse my language. We can't say that on a podcast, can we?
Does this qualify as
radio or something?
No, I don't know. It's just radio.
Anyway, he doesn't bitch as much as everyone else on the team.
Okay.
So We'll just say that.
He's a good player. He doesn't great complain. Player. He's like a model player. Yeah. He just comes up, shows up, plays.
I tried to vote him Player of the Week 1 week. He said, well, no, because his stats weren't that great.
Mm-hmm. Attitude-wise, I think he's a Player of the Week every week. Yeah. Without doubt. I really debated, I know I'm sort of jumping the gun here, but on the timeline here, but the Sportsmanship Award, which we had last year,
I won.
Yeah, you did win last year. We didn't do that this year because we had so many new people and a lot of people that were good sports. I thought it would have been unfair to say someone was the good sport over all the good sports, and then that could cause resentment and then lack of sportsmanship, but, meaning there would be no more sportsmanship awards in the future. But right. if I had to give it to somebody this year, I definitely would have given it to Michael Sumner.
Yeah.
For sticking with you through the whole season.
Sticking through all through the tumult.
Yeah.
And
very difficult year.
Everything. Yes.
Okay, difficult. So what exactly did it deteriorate over time throughout the season, or was there a particular moment that led to a downfall?
Well, it's sort of troubling from the very beginning because we did have new players come in that weren't on a team.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of started with Chris, I forget his last name.
Ramey.
Chris Ramey. Teammate. And
the kid.
It was sort of troubling because him and Troy didn't get along at first. In fact, Troy referred to him as Columbine because of how unstable he thought Chris was. And then Troy is always talking about Vaseline, especially in regards to Maroon Squad. And to be fair, Troy is like that. He'll use crude, vulgar language to describe any situation. And, well, we probably did need Vaseline with Maroon Squad in terms of
I think we all
playing
did.
With him. Yes.
My team had a win against him.
That's true. But just as for the rest of us, this podcast, we were taken so badly, this podcast could have been sponsored by Vaseline. I really do believe that.
True.
Couldn't have been as bad as our trip to Columbus
yes.
that we'll get into later.
Yes.
All right.
So, you're having attendance issues. Do you think that that was directly linked to the amount of beatings you're receiving on a weekly basis?
Oh, definitely. I think what was everybody got tired of being beat. I know Chris, besides being tired of Troy, didn't like losing. And then he went to
Beaver Fever.
Yeah, originally, so, I think you wanted to establish some sort of trade to receive a player, but your roster actually had reached six players, which was one more than this year's limit. It was supposed to be 3-2-5 players.
Like, well, the sixth player was, we weren't sure if that sixth player was even going to play, come out, or anything.
Okay.
And then he did.
As commissioner, is really the only time I had to intervene transaction-wise throughout the whole season was, the only way to do it was to release him into the free agency, and then a team pick him up, which Greg's team looked then, like they were going to be having trouble with attendance themselves. So it only made sense to put him on.
And
Greg's team.
We're still friends, Troy and I. It's just we will never play sports again with each other or on the same team or even against each other just simply because of the amount of complaining he does.
Yeah.
Going
into every game that you play, you probably have a mind frame of we're going to lose. It's just a matter of scale.
Yes.
Did you have, and I'm sure.
But we beat your team.
You did beat my
team
twice. You were 2-22 the whole year. Yeah, trying to earn yourself bonus wins there.
I think there was a close game.
Yeah, well, there was definitely a close game.
There's a reason why we're called
it.
Welfare Warriors. Yeah. We were supposed to receive at least half the number of wins automatically from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I thought.
It's supposed to be some sort of assistance.
Yes.
Well, knowing that that would definitely take a toll on me as a team captain, knowing every week going in to the competition that I'm just going to be completely devastated and destroyed on an athletic level. And there's just you sort of lose the ability to see it as a competition. Having that, did you at least have a favorite team to play, like that you at least had a good time losing to?
No, not really. I mean, well, maybe Pink Penguins. They were good about it. They didn't really rub it in your face. Of course, it really sucked because they had that one player. I forget his name. He always hit a home run, like just pitch it, and he just hits it over the fence, and it got sort of annoying. Not Thelmer.
Ryan Miller.
Miller.
Miller time.
It's just, all right, just pitch it. And what happened was, even though I'm team captain, it was sort of, they were all very unresponsive. I could tell them, hey, just walk them. Because, yes, as said earlier, I said the walk is an intentional or a legitimate play, and it is intentional when you know you have a good hitter. And I couldn't get Michael Sumner to just walk him. He said, man, just play. Just play.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, you know, doing my Statue of Liberty, you know, hand to chest and one hand up in the air. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do it. So.
Okay. Well, do you think it was a problem like you maybe had since they were your friends that they didn't give you enough respect as maybe they would give a stranger that would be their team captain to listen to you as far as develop a strategy? Do you think maybe if you would have tried to develop a strategy earlier on in the season, you guys would have been able to actually win more games or at least stay more united?
Well, I think it's more the friendship thing. We really ripped on each other, and it really started to affect not just our team, but I think other teams as well throughout the league. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you have, and again, I hate to harp on Troy, but he would, and even Luke to a point, package deal there, they would rip on me, or they would rip on Sumner. And at first it's in jest, but then finally after so long, if you're not going to stop, you almost get insulted. And it's like, hey man, shut up and play. Let me play. All right, and then finally they would just rip on me. I'm not the greatest player. I'm out. Let's face it. Can't throw. I can barely run. I don't know if it's running or speed walking, but it's something like that. But, you know, they would constantly just rip on me, tell me how much I suck. Yet, Luke and Troy, I would at least give them, you know, a good job at least. Yeah. Or there wasn't much to rip on.
I think it's a shame because I think individually you had some players on your team that were good. And in the right environment, maybe in a more peaceful environment, even with the same roster, you guys maybe would have won a few more games and probably been able to stick with it more. But I know what it's like to be on a losing team and be so devastated.
Yeah, you were stuck with me last
year. Yeah, that was last year, yeah. It was only the two of us playing last year, and we were playing Greg's team, so we didn't really stand a chance. But my team, I have no complaints because we had good chemistry, and we did beat Greg's team. Three out of the five times we did play them in the regular season.
We got on track there at the end.
You did. You won the games that counted. But back to the Welfare Warriors.
Insert question here. Would you do it again?
Would I do it again?
I'll say it again because I said insert question.
Would you do it again, Jeremy?
Hell no. Not with Troy and Luke. With Michael Sumner, yes.
Would you try to find some other players to do it again with?
Yes. You could. My biggest complaint was it got to the point where you had players stopping. It almost looked like the water boy. You know, you got the cheerleaders drinking on the side and everybody's just doing whatever. And you had Troy out on the, you know, out in the outfield on his telephone, for God's sake. Not even paying attention to the game. And then complaining that I'm not even watching the ball. You had Luke doing the same thing or talking to Troy, ripping on us or not even paying attention to our game, but yelling to the other field that's playing.
That's something that really started to concern me. No one was coming to me and saying anything to me about it with heckling and stuff like that. But that was something that really started to concern me. I think it was concerning other people.
I mean, we heckle, or I even heckle. You know, but it's usually in fun or in jest.
In your own game.
Or in my own game, at least. Them, they would heckle. I mean, it was like, all right, we're going to heckle anything and everyone. Even that blade of grass right there. Everything's off limits.
The softball players on the field next
to us.
If it's moving, it's getting heckled.
Let me just say something about softball. Play a real game. A real man sport. Like wiffle ball.
Okay.
All right.
And don't walk through our fields again.
Yes, please stop walking through our fields. It's getting very annoying. Especially for the same person doing it every time you need to go to the bathroom.
With the baby.
With the baby.
And we'll be right back with Jeremy Linton right after our short break.
And we're back with our special guest, Jeremy Linton, captain of the Welfare Warriors, who no longer exist, from the Huntington Wiffle League. Jeremy, you went through a dark time in particular of your pretty horrible season. For the 2013 regular season, when you had a week that you were the only person to show up for your team, and you had to take your only forfeits of the year. You had a doubleheader that day, and you took your forfeits to the Maroon squad. Would you like to talk about that and explain what the hell happened?
Well, I show up, and, of course, no one's there. And, basically, before even the game started, the team was already talking about skipping the game. And I don't skip games.
Why were they wanting to skip the games?
Well, because you need Vaseline with the Maroon Squad.
Ah,
did you encourage them to come, or I did just leave it at that?
No, I encouraged them to come. I told them if they don't, whatever. You know, I was sort of ticked off that they'd even mention it.
So would you call this like the downhill slide of your team for the season? Is this where...
Yes, I would. This is where I realized we're going to have to bring in probably Michael Sumner's brother. We had to get him in real quick because I knew if I got two players wanting to immediately scram, that we may not have a team for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it was a dark time for your franchise. It was really in jeopardy. I was really concerned as a commissioner. I thought we were going to lose a franchise, and I didn't want that to happen. But things looked up later. So what exactly did you do to try to curb the downward spiral to try to finish your year out?
Well, I switched from Waffle House's payment to Taco Bell to keep Sumner around and his brother. His brother was, like we said earlier, a pretty darn good player. Of course, he came stoned the very last game and sort of, I think that really hurt us.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He smoked a lot of pot the night before, getting ready for Bonnaroo, apparently.
Of course.
You said he was the hippie type, and that's true. Sort of laughing when he said that earlier. But there was that, trying to keep him with just social protocols. Hey, let's go to Taco Bell, keep him together. Troy and Luke are sort of the package deal, like I said. And trying to keep them around was almost impossible because they kept saying it was me. I'm the one, you know, separating the team. I'm the one doing all the stuff. Yet they're the ones willingly, you know, taking off. Willingly, they would go to Fat Patty's before a game. Like, hey, you shouldn't eat a shit ton of hamburger and cheese fries before. Let's see. You know, they did that, and then I kind of figured it was downhill with them. You know, I invited him to come back, and it was sort of like, no, because they said I was a whiny person, to avoid the B word again, as Josh has requested me not to say. And basically, it's sort of a clash of ideas, because I'm the team captain, I'm trying to give them orders, yet they're saying, I suck, I shouldn't be doing it. You know, it's like, why have a chain of command if you're not going to follow?
Right. Well, I mean, I was very shocked and very impressed at the same time, while being disappointed, that your team managed to stick it out through the entire season. I was very concerned that you guys wouldn't play your 24-game set, and I was really not expecting you guys to actually show up in the playoffs to play the Pink Penguins, which was almost a guaranteed loss, and you did indeed end up losing that game. But I was amazed at your efforts.
I would just like to say we did very well against Pink Penguins. Until Miller time came up plate.
Okay.
We're actually ahead with Dylan.
And at the top of the first?
In top first. And then Miller time, you know.
Ruined that
because, and Miller time's also the one that ruined my only home run.
I remember that. Yeah, you were about to hit your first career home run.
Thanks a lot, Miller time.
Yeah. You're the only player this year that didn't. I hit a home run.
Yeah, right. I think someone owes you a Christmas card. Exactly. Yeah. Ryan Miller, if you're listening right now, you know the right thing to do. We'll send you his
Zach PM. Zach only played three games, and he hit...
We'll message his address. I think you know what you need to do.
Well, when I hit, it's long and slow, and anyone can catch it.
Wow. Well, like I was trying to say before, I was impressed with your tenacity and your ability to get a team of some form to the field every week, week in and week out, with the exception of 1 week where you sort of got screwed over. And for that, I really appreciate it that you pretty much embody what I look for in a team captain, regardless of if it worked out with your team or not, because you did whatever was absolutely necessary week in and week out to make sure that your team stayed in the competition. That's why I'm glad you're on my team in Charleston, because I know you're going to be there. And I think this is a very important lesson for people trying to start their own teams now, not just in our leagues, but in ones abroad. It's very difficult to keep a group of people together, especially if you do not have a plan in place or people in mind that will cohesively come together and have team chemistry. I think that was one of the weaker points, without a doubt. When you try to start blending social groups, it becomes a lot more complicated. And that's why I think, partially, Greg can agree with me or not, the Maroon Squad did so well. They were all friends
and teammates.
Athletic.
Yeah, they were athletic, actually good.
That helped.
But
they performed in basketball tournaments together, and they had been teams prior to our league.
Yeah, they had a lot of team chemistry that we did not. I think that's also why Holy Balls did very well. A lot of them knew each other outside of this. Pink Penguins did very well. My team and Beaver Fever, we did pretty good. But we did have these wild cards in there that we didn't know very well. I knew Andrew, but I didn't know Daryl. I didn't know Julie. I liked them very much, and I feel that we would do better next year because we know each other better now. We're a lot more comfortable around each other. But when you can't facilitate something that isn't there already. Have team chemistry or you do not.
I will say we were very good at yelling at each other.
Yes.
Many, many people across the league did note this.
Yes,
it
was very good.
We were the only, I think it was, who was it, Daryl.
He referred to you as the welfare whiners.
Welfare whiners, and someone said, we are the only team that hates each other that still plays together.
Yeah.
So, and I took that to heart,
team
actually.
That plays together hates together.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for all your time that you've probably wasted on a Saturday that you had off anyway and probably weren't doing anything.
Well, I could have been in a classroom setting up right now.
That's true. But he chose wiffle ball. He has priorities, people. But thank you. Jeremy is going to be sticking around for the remainder of the podcast to interject wherever he feels like.
Well, that's because Josh is paying me off in waffles.
Yes, I am paying him off in waffles.
And we locked the room.
We'll be right back after a short break to finish up this podcast.
Better.
And we're back to finish up this podcast episode and talk about our final topic, fall ball. You need to get registered if you're interested in playing in our free fall ball leagues. The first one of which is from our existing league in Huntington. It happens Tuesday nights, August 27th through September 24th at St. Cloud Commons Community Park in West Huntington, West Virginia. Games start at 5:30. You need to have at least three players on your team with a maximum of six. Have a team name picked. No registration fee or uniform requirements is needed. If you need any more information, visit our website at www.huntingtonwiffleball.com or email us at huntingtonwiffle@gmail.com. Also, this is a very new formation that we're working on right now. I myself am trying to start another league, a sister league to the Huntington Wiffle League, in Charleston, 50 miles east where I live. We will be playing fall ball also for 5 weeks on Monday nights instead of Tuesdays, August 26th through September 23rd at Little Creek Park in South Charleston, West Virginia. You can look more details up either finding us on Facebook, going to charlestonwiffle.blogspot.com or emailing us at charlestonwiffle@gmail.com. Remember that it's the same requirements. There are no registration fees or uniform requirements necessary, just that all players in both leagues, as with the regular season league, it is also the same for fall ball. You must be at least 18 years old to play. And also, we are a co-ed league, so ladies.
Come on out.
Yeah, you're allowed to play.
Show us your wiffle.
Ow.
Jeremy Linton is single. He is a teacher.
He is single. He's a bachelor. He is a full-time teacher now, so he's making in the dough, ladies. Tell him what kind of car you have.
Huh?
Tell
him. I drive a 91 Honda Civic that's beat all to hell.
Tell him what you really drive.
It kind of looks like a Mustang, though.
Yeah, it looks like a Mustang. There's room in the back. Room for two.
But so if you got kids, that's perfectly fine with Jeremy.
No. No kids right now.
You totally took what I was going to say and just totally changed. I'm like, oh, God. Okay, so we are going to talk about fall ball. There aren't many questions we have, but we are going to talk about a little bit who we are expecting to participate in Huntington first. Who's coming out?
Hopefully, you'll come down every week.
Yeah.
Myself, I've got my team coming back is me, myself.
And I. That's all you need. And,
Mikey Saxton, my stepson, is coming out. His friend Zach, they were both on my team this past summer. I'm attempting to get a couple other people that I know to come out for my team. Hopefully the Maroon Squad will be back as they were our league champions and we'd like to see them come back and play around.
Yeah, they're in a spot of trouble right now, though, between Hager's inconsistent and spotty attendance and Randy Steele this Sunday, tomorrow, when Breaking Bad comes back on, we'll be watching that. Some of us, anyway, have been keeping up on good Netflix. That's an awesome show. Randy Steele will be en route to moving to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which is basically West Virginia, but too far away to commute to play wiffle ball. He says he'll be back to play, but he may not. So the Maroon squad may be okay next year, but fall ball could be a different story. Who else is coming back?
Pink Penguins?
Pink Penguins, hopefully.
Okay, the Pink Penguins are coming back. Holy Balls, I'm not so sure about. But I've been contacted by different people. Brandon Woolham, sort of like your co-captain for your team, he's starting his own team.
Yes, lost Brandon.
Using players from his kickball league that plays on Sundays, also in Huntington. He's got his own team. And then some friends of his he didn't have room for on his team are starting his own team. And I've been contacted by, get this, a woman trying to start her own team. Her name is Stephanie, so I wish her all the best of luck to try to get her team together. If she doesn't have enough people and we have any free agents, I'll be sure to send them her way. So, Stephanie, if you're listening right now, don't give up. Get your team together. But that could put us, if everybody participates in fall ball, to participate in the regular season and all these new teams work out, we could have up to 8 teams participating in fall ball and hopefully more than that in the regular season next year. But now let's take a look at what's going to happen in Charleston, 50 miles east, where I live. There's me, my sister, her husband Doug, Greg. I think you're playing on my team.
Not during fall ball.
Not during fall ball.
I may be there for opening day, but I have a.
But the regular season, you're still good, right?
Yeah, regular season, I'm up for. I have a few scheduling issues with. Okay. During the fall.
Oh, that's okay. I got Jeremy over here. Jeremy's going to be on my team.
I'm still thinking about resurrecting the fat bastards.
Resurrecting the fat bastards. Well, that should be easy. Tyler Call does not live in the state anymore.
Yeah, he's in Lexington, so yeah.
He's really sad. Far away. Yeah.
Closer
but
to the
Michael Hankton. Sumner is close to the same size.
Oh, my God. You'll have to consult us.
He had no problems with the team name. It was Troy and Chris and
Luke. Yeah.
Well, actually, Luke didn't have a problem with fat bastards. Okay. He's just not fat or a bastard.
Mm-hmm. How do you know?
Because his dad still lives at home.
He has a personal relationship.
How do you know that's his real dad?
Because they look almost exactly alike, except one's a little squinnier than the other.
Mm. Well, there's also a league in Danville, which is in Boone County, just probably about 40 minutes south. At the most, from Charleston, Danville tried to start their own wiffle ball league a few years ago and failed. Hopefully one team will somehow come together. I've been promised by the commissioner of that league that tried to start up.
Former commissioner
of a league that used to formerly exist. We'll be getting a team together, and I've been contacted by a few other people. So it's looking like we're probably going to have about 4, maybe 6 teams be playing. So we're going to have a decent start.
Now, I would like to ask the question, with 2 leagues, would there be a championship between the two?
I'm not sure. I don't think initially, the first year, we're going to blend the leagues together. No. I think that it's going to pretty much come down to running these leagues independently of each other and then possibly merging them in the future.
Yeah, because you never know. You could have the Danville Miners, I don't know what their team name is, versus, say, the Maroon Squad, you know, if they get back together in Huntington, you know, versus each other. Well, be interesting to see.
My team, I think we are probably easily the most developed. We've already had some practices. All 3 of us were there last week with a friend of mine, Jamie Prine. I don't know how old he is. He's been saying he's 29 for about 3 years now, so I'm just going to call him the kid. He's got some natural talent. He's about 8 feet tall, all-around good player. So we could be working with someone that could actually help us win some games. So I think we could do pretty well.
And I'm good with Captain Caveman.
You're good with the Captain Caveman.
If we can convert to those instead, but it's doubtful.
But some interesting things in the works for both of those leagues. I think it's a great way to have some guaranteed spring training since the weather is so hectic here in the early spring. It's a good way to get people out for free to try it out to see if we can recruit some more people for the season next year because we want to grow. Now, Greg, we're looking at the 2014 season, which will be here any moment now. It'll seem like no time and we'll be at the winter meeting trying to figure out what we're going to do. What are some things that we really should be looking forward to next year?
Slight changes in the rules. We are going to attempt to take the league funds and update the equipment and update all the different stuff that I've just been handed this piece of paper that says Josh Smith is gay. Mm. Some of the new equipment that we're looking into getting.
You can't read it yet. I have to read this shit. Oh. We're going to just pause for a second.
Are we going to get the wiffle ball cannon working for next season?
That's up to you.
Wiffle ball cannon is definitely happening for a season opener in both leagues, if you can make it happen.
Because I did get it working.
Okay. Good. Well, here's the here's the proposed, just a quick rundown of things we're wanting to do next year. We are going to get McGregor 14-inch vinyl base sets with stakes. So we're going to actually have raised bases instead of the tossed bases we use now that move all the time. We're going to have stationary, in-place bases that are padded where you can step on, feeling very major league once that happens. We're going to get easy pocket nets, net fencing. It's about 150 feet long, which is what we need. From Excursion's Journey to Health, it'll be a more durable and reliable fencing, very lightweight, so we'll be able to store it easily and just have a better time. That was something we had a lot of trouble with this year, other than finding a fence in general, was the setup, because it was so bulky and heavy. That's something I really do truly believe will make it a lot easier. We have athletic field paint that we're going to try to use instead of the ropes so we don't kill anybody. We're going to get Insta benches like they use at the NCAA tournament instead of using canvas seats individually. That way we just have one pouch to worry about per team. We're going to get a sports radar so we can find out just exactly how fast some of these pitchers are clocking in at. And we're going to get flip scoreboards because looking at the scorebook when you're keeping statistics isn't necessarily the most effective and time-effective way to find out what the score is at that moment. So that's something that's very necessary. We're also going to get some more Eastern Pro Sticks bats and the Louisville Slugger bats. And we're going to change carpet. We're going to use actual outdoor carpet, the green kind, and we're going to spray paint the circle on it for the pitcher's mound for pitcher's poison instead of it just being the whole rug. And we're going to use actual pitcher's rubbers to stake down in the middle of those rugs, as well as paint the batter's box carpet. So those are the things we're going to be using. We're also going to be using small micro video cameras instead of the flip HD cameras, since they don't record for a very long period of time and our cameras just don't necessarily need to record in HD. It's not that fantastic, so I think we could take the hit that way we can get more cameras. But that is going to come in around $1 million, so we're going to need to really raise some recruitment so we can raise the funds. We'll talk more about proposed budgets.
Oh, we can prostitute Greg out.
Yeah, Greg, you need to start working the streets, son.
I don't do that anymore.
He's in Huntington. So.
Yeah, you're in Huntington. You can probably just go outside. It doesn't matter. Okay, but that is everything there is to talk about. Does anyone have any final moments or thoughts they want to get out of their system before we end this podcast?
I would like to state, I do, you know, as earlier mentioned, I do have the wiffle ball cannon working officially. You know that crap you see on TV, Flex Seal? Works wonders. I had an air leak. The wiffle ball cannon shoots now again at 100 yards at about 90 miles an hour, give or take, and it will hurt.
Looking forward to it. If it hurts, I definitely want
it. It's our season opener cannon.
Can we try to put a target on that so we can...
Oh, yeah, we can put a target on it. It just depends on how we set the wiffle ball inside because, you know...
Parachute effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the different effects of a wiffle ball. You know, you really... I can shove a baseball in it and take off a tree limb, or I can put a wiffle ball in it and it goes anywhere if I...
Take out an eye.
Don't pay attention. So...
Okay. Well, be sure to have some practice before the season opener. I don't want to start the league off with half the league on the disabled list. So...
I'll make sure to point it at Miller time, yes, if anything, for taking my home run away. Yeah,
make sure that you find a way to make those home runs happen so that it never happens again. Never surrender. Okay.
Victory is life.
Victory is life.
Damn it. Stole my line.
Okay, that is all we have to discuss on this episode of the Huntington Wiffle League podcast. Signing off, I'm Josh Smith.
Greg Sauer.
And our special guest,
Jeremy Litton.
Okay. We will talk to you soon.